Okay, so this connection of impervious soils by incorporating compost to reduce runoff has been evaluated by a Chesapeake Bay Program Urban Stormwater Work Group as a new best management practice for credits towards watershed implementation plans. One of the recommendations of the work group was to apply and incorporate compost having a concentration no greater than 30 milligrams per gram of phosphorus to a depth of 15 centimeters into a soil that should not exceed 127 parts per million malic 3 phosphorus. I'm going to show data that we can incorporate compost into soils at least this high and still reap a benefit. So we conducted rainfall simulation studies to quantify infiltration and runoff on several silty clay loam soils whose physical and chemical properties had been modified through 5 years of annual application of inorganic and organic amendments. The amendments included an untreated control, a fertilized soil according to soil test lab recommendations, and 3 organic amendments: poultry litter, a poultry litter, yard waste compost, and a biosolids compost, all applied at agronomic nitrogen rates for a variety of horticulture and agronomic crops. After the 5 years and just prior to the rainfall simulation, the malic 3 phosphorus in the compost treated soils were twice as high as the recommended proposed phosphorus threshold. The water-soluble phosphorus values for this soil were pretty much correlated with the malic 3, with the exception of the soil treated with the biosolids compost, and this is likely due to the high amounts of phosphorus-binding iron that are present in biosolids. So when we look at the infiltration and runoff at this site for each of the treatments, we see that the compost treatments had the highest infiltration and the lowest runoff. And this is due to the decrease in bulk density with the high organic matter treatments. There was a good decreasing relationship between bulk density and total carbon, with the high compost treatments having the greatest, contributing greatest amount of organic matter and carbon to the soil. So in finality, when we looked at the loss of phosphorus from these sites from the rainfall simulation, despite having by far the highest phosphorus concentrations in the soil and exceeding the 127 parts per million threshold, the poultry litter compost, your yard waste compost had the least amount of phosphorus leaving the site. The biosolids compost was high, but no higher than any of the other treatments, and there were no differences among any of the treatments for dissolved reactive phosphorus. So we conclude that we can apply compost to these soils, even at phosphorus concentrations in the soil, well beyond this proposed threshold, and this is due likely to the improvement in the soil physical properties, such as reduced bulk density, which enabled infiltration and reduced runoff. Thank you. good question, largely because the controlled soils, having had no organic matter in it, tended to seal at the top. Water tended to pond, not infiltrate, run off quickly. So even though the concentrations of material leaving the site would have been higher where the compost was applied because of the higher peat, the amount of mass lost is a function of both the concentration and volume of water leaving the site, and we had much more runoff.
Just to follow up on that, 20 years ago, I coined the term time bomb with reference to heavy metals and biosolids.
I've never heard of that.
How do you respond to that concept with the load of excess peat as shown by the
Are you talking about a phosphorus time bomb now, or
yes,
a heavy metal?
Yes. Well,
or a heavy metal?
Because
the heavy metal time bomb
is
debunked.
I'm talking about the conceptual framework of excess load of an element into a biodegradable material.
So I'm not trying to promote increasing phosphorus in the soil to the concentration where you can mine it. But we are certainly promoting the use of organic materials such as compost, where they can improve the physical properties, improve the biological properties for the plant rooting system to increase infiltration, reduce runoff, and give a better vegetative cover. So you can do that without, I'm not saying we need to raise this to 500 parts per million male three. But certainly some of these levels, and this particular proposed threshold is just maybe like a first step, because if you look at states around the country, they're looking at setting the same sort of phosphorus limits where organics are to be applied as commercial fertilizers without the understanding of the additional values imparted by the organic matter and the lowered risk of phosphorus loss.
So we have a situation with bioretention methods where they're looking to get to zero copper in the mix, with the assumption that zero copper in the mix will bring us to 5 ppb or less in the effluent. Mm-hmm. And what you miss with this and with your time bomb question is, if you want these systems to persist for any amount of time, you can't have the plants drop it. The concentrations of stormwater are typically relatively low and insufficient to support the plant.
So, Sally, are you talking about using compost like in the soil, like impervious disconnection, or in a bioretention?
So. In bioretention, okay. Yeah. And so that's currently a big area, and we're going to be doing plant testing for some of these mixes, and they're going for all of these exotic ingredients, and a big emphasis has been on getting all the nutrients, copper and phosphorus and nitrogen, to be as low as possible in these mixtures and still expect plant growth and decent appearance if you're not going to get it.
Right.
And did you till in the compost or did you just surface the
plant? No, the compost. No,
ours was tilled.
His, Sorry. Yeah.
The random nature of infiltration measurements.
Okay.
So it probably had more to do with the condition of the soil, the moisture content. So it's going to vary.
Okay. Thank you.
Good question.
This question for Ryan. Do you notice that there was a timeline between the response of the water table to the actual precipitation event, or was it the
I haven't drilled into that in detail yet. It's a good question, but it seems like more rapid than I would expect based on kind of the properties we've measured using infiltration tests, things like that. And so one of the things one of my colleagues has noted is that the actual material within the rain garden has become degraded. You can see sinking spots over that subdrain. There's evidence of preferential flow, so I think that's what's happening, is water's probably short-circuiting a lot of that media, and that's what's causing that rapid response. see there's a house, there's driveways, there's also pervious area, which I'm basically saying is an atmospheric. So basically I'm modeling as grass, so that's transpiring. So it seems like too much ET in the summertime. I've played around with using a crop coefficient. I talked to our turf grass physiologist to see what would be a reasonable crop coefficient for urban turf grass. It seemed like there wasn't a ton of data on that, but it seems like probably in these relatively compacted soils, grass may not be transpiring anywhere near PEP would be another guess.
I have a question. So are you monitoring in New York? How many of the VOC installations are getting monitored? And what's happening with that data?
That's a really good question. We have put a lot of data. I really haven't time to really publish it.
I have a question then also for New York City. I think I saw in a presentation that someone from New York City gave that when they installed these, they actually dug down as far as they could until they got to a layer that was going to have the permeability that they wanted. And that could be like 20 feet, could be a lot.
I think that's true.
Okay.
That's not true.
Well, it made an impression on me, I can tell you.
So this was an alpha salt it was a Fauquier silty clay loam. So it's pretty clayey and deep Piedmont soil. So what information do you want to know about moisture?
Well, so do you have redox features at a certain depth?
No. This is a deep, well-drained soil.
The one in Cleveland?
Don't have it off the top of my head as far as him. So, but as part of this project, they've collected something like 20 different locations where they're doing soil cores that they've analyzed for texture, pH, base cations, and then doing infiltration tests along with that. I don't know what the taxonomy is around that, though. I think some kind of urban complex.
And on your tillage, could you expand upon the methods you did in the depth of the winter tillage?
Sure. We actually found that what we did is we compacted the soil with a vibratory roller, and we got it about where we typically found on construction sites compaction to be. So it was about the same bulk density, about 1.5 to 1.6 for a sandy clay loam type soil. So very tight. We could not penetrate it with the typical equipment that you would think of. And so we actually had to get a backhoe, dig it to the depth we wanted. We tried 15 and 30 centimeters, and then come back with a rotary tiller and till that up. So, part of the problem is with the plot size, you can't get a 300 horsepower tractor with a chisel plow on that, so you need to have smaller.
Anybody want to know what it's like doing a 5-minute talk? So one thing that that would be great for these is a lead-in into posters,
yeah,
which which I know Ryan had hoped to do, but but his poster was yesterday.
I was going to say, my response would be get in the time machine.
And so scheduling sessions, I mean, there's some challenges there to get the posters afterwards. So as a lead in for posters, is that something, or would that be?
I think you need the poster.
The poster to just follow up with the data.
It's a lead in or a year.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's just here. And then you go into the business meeting.
Yeah, you can't put the posters here. Yeah, we inquired about that.
No, believe me. In my day, I did too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So that's not.
So during our business meeting, we will talk about the 2019 meeting where we could maybe throw all of the rules out the door.
Yeah.